from the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, with two-man coverage of the red and gold, this is the Locked On Chiefs Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
And we're back for Locked On Chiefs. The Chiefs still won in, against Oakland and got themselves off of that schneid. I think that's a good sign. I'm Ryan Tracy, the founder of Rogue Analytics, and you can find my work over at Chiefs Digest in writing and on LockedOnChiefs.com, of course. And you can find me on Twitter at RyanTracyNFL.
And I'm Chris Clark. I am a longtime contributor at Arrowhead Addict and also the editor of LockedOnChiefs.com. You can find me on Twitter at Chris Clark NFL.
Now, we've still got the promotion going with Pro Football Focus. All you got to do is leave us an iTunes review with your Twitter handle in it. We also have the Twitter account for the show at Locked On Chiefs, as well as one for the Locked On Network. And the network's got a lot of great shows, too. Coming up, we have this matchup with the Chargers coming. So check out the Chargers show if you want some inside information on them. And we will get to talking about them later in the week. Still kind of soaking in what happened against the Raiders. And a couple of topics that I find encouraging that I think we should go over. And at the top of the list, a lot of people talking about Kareem Hunt today. And not to take anything away from him. I think he put in a great performance, got himself motivated so that he was ready. But the difference that I see is in this offensive line. And I'm not sure what it was that changed, but something definitely changed, because the ability to create holes against the Raiders, who I agree are not like, you know, the top 10 front, but they're not a terrible front either. I think that was the dramatic difference against this game, against the Raiders.
Yeah, I think the offensive line played very well. I think that Alex walked into a couple of the sacks that he ended up having. But, you know, in run blocking, I thought the offensive line did really well. And I think that they did pretty well in pass blocking for the most part. There was a couple of plays that I think were probably on them. But, you know, when you get to the full depth of a drop, the ball needs to be coming out, or at least coming out very quickly. And I think that cost them a couple of times throughout that game.
Yeah, I could see that. And it, like you said, that's something that has to get corrected. I think, honestly, that he kind of hung the tackles out to dry a little bit. I know one of Bruce Irvin's sacks early was something that I think Fisher had a good beat on him initially. He took a lot of depth in that particular drop. But I think if he'd stayed a little bit more square, he probably would have been able to save it. But Alex moving around the pocket, I think, is what generated that sack for Irvin.
Yep. His pocket awareness is something he struggled with his entire career, at least in Kansas City. So it's not surprising that he struggled with it on Sunday. We can just hope that it continues to not be a big deal moving forward. Obviously, it wasn't on Sunday because they were still able to get the win by double digits. So yeah, we can hope that that continues going forward. But, you know, it's one of those things that you would hope that, you know, a guy like Alex Smith, who has as much experience as he does, would be better at.
You would hope so, and that's what I hope to see. But you know, it's something that at this point in the schedule, with him having played so well early and gotten all the hype and really fallen off a cliff, you know, a manageable Alex Smith that can still take deep shots, I think, is what can get this done. Yes, there's going to be a few more sacks than there should be,
I think it becomes a bigger problem, and not to interrupt you, but I think it becomes a bigger problem with the division they play in, because they face three of the best pass rushers in the NFL, and they still have two of those on their, you know, schedule for the rest of the year, and that's a big deal. So, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, and you make a good point, because especially this week, this tandem's been really successful, and I'm one that I've been pretty ho-hum on Ingram and Bosa in particular. I really didn't think coming out that Bosa was all that he was cracked up to be in college, and he seems to have you know, gotten a leg up. I'll be really interested, because I'm still not convinced that he's going to be an elite pass rusher his whole career. We'll see what happens next season, the season after that. I almost expect a little bit of a drop-off. But certainly, for Saturday, that's a big matchup.
Yep. No, absolutely is.
And back to the Kareem Hunt part, you know, they updated the stats a little bit. He averaged 8 yards a carry out wide right, thanks to Mitch Schwartz. And I know that he had that costly penalty, but when I went back and I've looked at the film some.
Did you see his response to that penalty?
Yeah, what did he say? Something about an RPO, right?
Yeah, when RPOs go horribly wrong.
At least he has a sense of humor about
it. No, absolutely. I thought that was pretty good. I saw that last night, so.
It's unfortunate. I mean, that was a big play they got called back on him. But, you know, it's not like Mitch Morse makes a whole lot of mistakes. So
Mitchell I'm going to let that one.
I can call him Mitch, right?
Yeah, but you said Mitch. You said Morse.
Oh, good Lord. Sorry, Mitch. I'm just going to mess that up for a little bit. But best area of the line that he ran, that Kareem Hunt ran for yardage against the Raiders. And the thing that I think fed into that is the touchdown came right next to him, just inside, over the guard space. And I, when looking at the film again, and I haven't seen the All-22 yet, still a bit early for that release, but I was really impressed with what LDT was able to do. He's been kind of treading water since he came back from his injury, I thought. But against the Raiders, he looked nasty, and he looked really athletic, and he looked more explosive than he had ever since his return.
Yeah, I thought he looked very good, and I think he will continue to get better. You know, and I think Fulton played a better game than I expected him to play.
Yeah, as we go on, the more and more I felt that he's a better center than he is a guard. And now we get back to that conversation we had 2 years ago. Is it best for this offensive line in the coming years for Mitch Morse to play guard? Because we know he can. We know he's got the athleticism. We know he can anchor in there, and he plays well in the interior.
Let me solve that question for you. No.
Okay. I'm sure we'll revisit that about 100 times in the offseason because I'm not so convinced. But now,
Fulton is going to be gone. Is more than likely going to be gone next year.
That's a good point. Yeah.
So you know, I don't think that. I mean, we may end up revisiting it if they re-sign him, but I can't imagine he's going to re-sign because I think he wants to start, and he's not going to get that opportunity in Kansas City
unless they make that kind of alteration to the lineup. But again, LDT was noticeable on tape. On the West touchdown, he drove his guy all the way into the end zone himself. Another couple plays early in the drives, just getting on top of guys and driving them down the field. Kareem Hunt's early success, I think, was a lot due to LDT. And I'm wondering what your opinion is because I can't tell specifically without the All-22 yet what they did to change it. Is it simply attitude? Is it simply being in a desperate situation? This is a must-win game, and the line kind of circled the wagons and pulled together? Or did they simplify their blocking schemes? Because that's what I've been wanting for the last few weeks. I just don't know if that's what happened.
It's hard to say, and it's hard to know without actually going back and rewatching that game multiple times, and I haven't had the time to do that, I will admit. But you're right, the offensive line looked a lot better. I think we talked about this last week. It's kind of interesting because Kansas City's offensive line has struggled throughout this season. And, you know, you've got a guy like Mike Person who is here in training camp and is doing well in Indianapolis, yet he couldn't even make the team in Kansas City. So I think that there's a possibility that they need to make changes in the offensive line scheme and system and coach in the offseason because they have too much talent on the offensive line for them not to be playing better than they are.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I retweeted that one of those comments specifically for that particular piece of it. If Mike Person can go to Indy, shift over to center, which I don't remember if he even practiced in center here. I thought he practiced predominantly a guard.
He did, but he did practice center for a couple of snaps as well.
Okay. But for him to go out there and do that, that tells me that talent-wise, this group is still above him. And I agree with you. Changing what they're asked to do, the way they're asked to play, I think has to play into it. And I'm going to be very interested in whatever little pieces of information we get out of the coming interviews and press conferences and whatever else that we can glean information from about what that changed. Especially if they are able to sustain it going forward.
Yeah, and you would have to hope that they're able to sustain it, but they are going to have a big test this week. If they can be good against the Chargers and give Alex time to make plays, that'll go a long way. and open up holes for Kareem Hunt. Because if they can open up holes for Kareem Hunt, it opens up a lot more on offense as well.
Yeah, and, you know, they're facing a – I almost said San Diego. They're facing a Chargers front that isn't just the edge guys. Corey Legit had a great game last week, and I think he's feeling his oats. And they need to use that against him, especially if he's going to try to jump some gaps. I think you're going to see some schemes where they can kind of carry him through and cut off of that. And I think it's going to open some big gashes in that Chargers defense. And I hope that they're prepared to take advantage of it. They just have to bring that same nasty attitude that we saw against the Raiders.
Well, and, you know, if it has anything to do with them being up against the wall, I mean, they're going to be up against the wall the rest of the season. So, you know, they put themselves in that situation, and now it's time to see if they can claw out and if they're able to survive.
Well, and they're not the only group that needs to do it either.
Nope.
This particular group of DBs came out with some fire as well. A lot of attitude out of Steven Nelson, who got kind of crushed against the Jets, did not play well, but I thought he was on the spot. I thought he was aggressive. I think Sutton allowed them, and I haven't run any of the numbers yet in terms of snap count, but I saw a lot closer man coverage, and I saw particularly Revis get his hands on a lot of guys. Maybe not a classic jam right off the snap, but within two steps. And I think playing that more aggressive style really fed into what they were able to do against two receivers that ate them up the first time out.
No, wait a second. You're saying that we use press corners to actually press?
Well, partially anyway.
That can't be correct.
Bob had a fever.
By the way, welcome back, Marcus Peters, who returned to the practice field today. On Monday. So welcome back. And that'll be an interesting thing to see how he plays on Sunday or on Saturday. Man, that keeps throwing me off too.
Yep. And it's going to be all week, folks. It is a Saturday game in case you're missing like we are. And I'm interested to see that as well. I think it's got to be a little bit eye-opening for a guy who is easily the best talent in that secondary to miss a game and see them actually improve dramatically. Hopefully that's an inspiration and can settle down some of the things that have been getting under his skin, which, you know, is a tough call when he's going to be facing Keenan Allen again, a guy that always gets under his skin.
Yeah, that's the big thing is he's going to be facing Keenan Allen. He's going to be facing, you know, Tyrell Williams is not a slouch. I'm not saying he's an all-pro wide receiver, but he's not a slouch. He's good. They're going to be facing a very tough Chargers passing attack, and Phillip Rivers has been on point this season, so... and my fantasy team can attest to that.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing. And I'm going to have a piece. It should be up on LockedOnChiefs.com by the time y'all hear this in the morning. The stat of the week. And I think this is kind of key to what's going forward. The Chiefs tallied 9 passes defensed against the Raiders. Ties the season high that they had in weeks 2 and 3. And in those games, they have averaged only giving up 15 points. The key to this defense is attacking the ball in the air. And if they can do that, and by being more aggressive and being closer to line and getting a jam allows them to do that, that's how this secondary has to function. Whether you have, you know, cover two shell, two safeties back, or you go with a one look, you got to let the corners do what they do and get aggressive with these receivers.
Bob, are you listening?
Please.
Please. Been calling for it for years. No, you're absolutely right. And like I said, both of us have been calling for it for years. You've got press corners that can play very well in press coverage. Let them do what they do best. And it also helps with attitude if you're able to get up there and be physical with the wide receivers and get in their face and jam them. And, you know, if you play with attitude, especially that position, as long as you don't go overboard, I think it's going to rub off on the rest of the defense because you're going to be making – their job's easier because you're going to give them time to get after the QB. And Phillip Rivers is not near as mobile as Derek Carr.
Right. Very good point. Well, and the other thing that I think it does
for their and their offensive line isn't as good either. Sorry. That's all I got.
No, you're absolutely right on both pieces. But the other thing that I think it does, in terms of just a mentality as a pressure relief valve, I'm going to call it, because Marcus Peters has been running hot. and he's back. And if he can get physical with receivers, I think that allows him to blow off a little bit of that steam, get some of that aggression out that maybe will help him hold his temper a little bit better. I think it's also an advantage on the other side, and I'm interested to see your opinion on this, but I think it helps Revis stay in phase with some of these younger, faster receivers by getting his hands on him, having that contact. I don't think that they want him as open in space and having to defend guys like they did the first week when he was playing so far off. But what's your impression of the performance Revis put in week two?
One catch, 8 yards on 7 or 8 targets. That's pretty good for any corner. I will absolutely take it. You know, one thing we haven't mentioned, which I think we need to mention right now, just because we're talking about the secondary, is sorry to hear Steven Terrell got put on IR today. That is a tough dude. I don't know if you saw the hits or you remember the hit he put on Clive Walford, but looked like he got injured, and he actually came back in and played the rest of the game and got the final interception to seal the game at the end, and still ended up going on IR. So don't know what that injury is, but obviously he is a tough guy and hope he's able to come back, better next year.
It's too bad to see. I thought he was starting to play a better role. Had his first career interception. A great role player, especially with Eric Murray still hurt.
Yep.
And they're getting thin at safety at this point. I wonder if you're going to see an acquisition of some kind. We'll have to wait.
Well, they brought in McQuay.
Okay, good. You know, a guy that has a lot of promise, is an athlete.
And somebody asked me on Twitter, and I will just say this here. Somebody asked me on Twitter what I expect to see from McQuay, and it may sound like a cop-out, but I don't really have an answer for you. He looked like he changed as a player during training camp and during the preseason. So I don't think it's fair for me to judge him based off you know, what we saw in preseason games. I think there are some correlations to what you might see, but I think he's probably improved a lot over the past 10 weeks being on the practice squad as well.
Well, yeah, and that's what I think. You know, we got to remember, this is a guy that played in the slot in college, played outside on the corner in college. You know, the move to safety is a foreign thing, much like with Murray, who we didn't see play defense in his rookie year. So I think you hit the nail on the head that practice time these last 10 weeks has been key. How far has he progressed? That's what remains to be seen. I don't know that we'll know until he hits the field.
Well, and I don't know that he's going to get that much playing time to begin with. I mean, in all reality, you know, if Eric Murray's back, which I don't think he will be, he may get some playing time, but they may shift some, one of the corners back to playing, you know, that deeper role, just because they have the ability to do so. You know, you get your best players on the field, and try to win that way. And I think that's maybe a place that they go, because I don't know that you really want McQuay on the field very often.
Well, that brings up an interesting question, because the next man up, do you think Philip Gaines can play safety?
Well, you have to remember, with Marcus Peters back, you technically would have the opportunity to go and put Terrence Mitchell back there. You could go have, you know, Sorensen play back. You know, the other thing you could really do is you could play a lot more of your base defense and play two middle linebackers who play different positions, and yes, they are different positions at inside linebacker. If somebody wants to talk to me about that, they can later. But somebody was trying to point out to me yesterday that DJ and Ragland play the same position, and I'm like, no.
It's not even close, and we will go over that in depth all offseason, folks, because inside linebacker, while it's looking better, it's not shored up.
I don't know that I would go that far, honestly. I think they will be fine in moving forward. I think they're going to have two very good players that are going to be young, in Kevin Pierre-Louis and in Reggie Ragland. I think they'll be fine moving forward. But, you know, KPL and DJ play the same position, and Ragland plays completely different than DJ does. You cannot expect to take DJ off the field and put Ragland in. That would be a horrible position to put him in.
I agree. And, you know, Ramique Wilson can play that will, has a few times, and done okay with it. I don't think it's his strength, but when I say that it's not set, I mean you need to be four deep at ILB. And as far as I know for certain, there's two.
I won't disagree with that, but I think that they have, you know, they have Ramique Wilson, who they know can play at least decently enough. He's not going to be great. But I honestly, and maybe you can tell me this, is it just me, or does it look like DJ is getting stronger as the year goes on?
No, I agree with you. And I think you hit it a few weeks ago. Not 100% recovered. Still that, you know, you get your strength back. You get your ability to cut back. You start to have more confidence in that tendon. And that, I think, gets you 90% of the way. You can play a season at that level. I think where he's getting now is he's realizing it's not going to go. It, you know, it's beyond confidence. It's instinct now. It's back to not having to ever think about it. And I think that's what you're seeing is him get that last couple of percent back. Is he ever going to be back to 100%? I don't think so. But, you know, can he get to 93, 94% of what he was before this last injury? I do believe that. I think you're seeing that last few percentiles come into play where he can explode and accelerate better.
Yeah, and that's huge. If Kansas City can get DJ back to being the player, close to the player he was, you know, maybe you re-sign him next year or you redo his contract and add another year on and try to extend him for a little bit less money. I mean, there's multiple things you could possibly do. But he has a lot of value on this team, and I think he really struggled early in the season. But I also think that it helps that they've got two other guys that they can put in there, and he doesn't have to be in there 100% of the time. And I think that's another reason he's playing better late in the year.
And that's great to see. I don't know, and obviously this isn't the podcast to speculate about what's going to happen in the offseason, but I think we all have the general idea that this may be the last we see of Derek Johnson in Chiefs uniform. And I like the fact that if that is the case, that he is accelerating and getting better as he approaches the end of it.
Well, yeah, you won't be able to convince me that it's the last we've seen a DJ with the way he's played the past couple of weeks. And no, he's not back to his old self, but I think he's a lot better than he has been.
I agree. It'll be about the money, right?
Well, I don't even know that it'll be about the money, honestly, because if you think about it, they have so many other moves that they could make to bring in to make the money. I don't know that it'll be about that. I mean, he's already given money back to the team in previous years. You know, if he wants to play another year, I think the value of I would say that his value with the way he's playing is at least $3 or $4 million, and added on what he can teach the two young guys that are going to be sitting, that are going to be there playing more. I think that value is still there at, you know, $5-6 million a year.
Yeah. And that's fair. I am at this point figuring that money wise is probably going to cost Derek Johnson his roster spot on this team. Maybe I'm wrong, but it's going to be tough. There's a lot of things that are going to have to happen in this offseason that's going to be interesting. But we are not going to spend any more time on that now. We will talk a little bit more after we look at the All-22. We'll have Seth on later in the week, folks. We're going to talk with Eric Eager from Pro Football Focus and get some more inside stats from him and have a look at what the tendencies are and see if this team is actually turned around. We're going to continue to get ready for the Chargers, those guys that are from Los Angeles now. And we will have that for you, as well as the preview show on Friday. So please make sure you subscribe. Tell your friends to subscribe. Check out LockedOnChiefs.com. Going to have links to the show in there. And thank you for listening to us today. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Chiefs podcast. While you're out there, give us a rating or review. And reach out to us on Twitter, @RyanTreseyNFL and @ChrisClarkNFL. We'll talk to you next time.